Jayo Radha Madhava Kunravihare Jayo Radha Madhava Kunravihare Jayo Gopi Dhanavallabha Girbhanadhare Jayo Gopi Dhanavallabha Girbhanadhare Yasoda nanana braja jana ranjana Yasoda nanana braja jana ranjana Tamunatirha Vanacharya Tamunatirha Vanacharya Jayorada Madhava Kunravihare Jayorada Madhava Kunravihare Jayo Gopi Dhanavallabha Girbhanadhare Jayo Gopi Dhanavallabha Girbhanadhare Yasoda nanana braja jana ranjana Yasoda nanana braja jana ranjana Jamunatirha Vanacharya Jamunatirha Vanacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Radha Madhava Kunravihare Jayo Gopi Dhanavallabha Girbhanadhare Jayo Gopi Dana Vallabha Girvanadharya. Yasoda Nanana Vraja Dana Ranjana. Yasoda Nanana Vraja Dana Ranjana. Jamuna Kira Vanacharya. Jamuna Kira Vanacharya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Kidai, Gaur Premanande, all gloriously sound devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, and what will Vishnu Vidai Vishnu Vidai Vidai, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj, Namaste Sarasatam Deve, Gaur Vani Vitamina, Nirvishesha Shunni Vani, Paskatya Desai. Om Agyanatvanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha, Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitam Scha. Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Brindavaneshri, Prishubhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sinuvivacha, Patidanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8 Chapter 22 Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Text number 14 Tasmai Bali Varuna Pasha Yantrita Samarhanam na upajahara purvavat
Nanama Murdana Ashu Vilola Lochanaha Sa Rida Nichina Muka Bahuva Ha Kazmai Balirva Rinapasha Yantrita Samarhanam Nopajahara Parvavat Nanama Muranya Shru Vilola Lochana Savrida Nichina Mukho Bhavuvaha Tasmai Balir Varuna Pasha Yantrita Samarhanam No Pajahara Purvavat Nanama Murnya Shru Vilola Lochana Savrida Nichina Mukopubuvaha Tasmai Unto Prahlad Maharaj Bali Bali Maharaj Varuna Pasha Yandrita being bound by the ropes of Varuna Samarhanam befitting respect Na not Upajahara offered Purvavat like before Anama he offered obeisances Murdnya with the head Ashru Vilola Lochana eyes inundated with tears Sa Rida with shyness. Nichina downward. Muka face. Bahuvaha he became so. Or he so became. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we'll start with the two other translations that weren't read. Shri Shukavacha Tasyetam Bhashamanasya Prarado Bhagavat Priyaha Ajagama Kuru Shesta Rakapatir Ivotitaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Tvam Indra Sena Swa Pitamaham Shriyaha Virajamanam Nali Nayate Shanam Pram Shum Pishangam Param Anjatvisham Anjanatvisham Pralamba Bahum Shubha Garshavam Aikshata. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment to the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms, and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. So it takes 14 again. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj, as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears, and his face lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamanadeva, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Text 15.
Tatatra hasinam udikshya sapatim harim sunandad yanu gair upasitam upetya bumau shirasa mahamana nanama murdhya pulakashu viklavaha.
When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head.
Text 16. Sri Parado Vacha Tasyaiva Datam Param Andra Aindram Urjitam Ritam Tarevadya Tataiva Shobanam Vanye Mahan Asya Krito Yana Nugraho Vi Brahmashito Yachtriya Atma Mohanat Sri Parado Vacha.
Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali Maharaj the very great opulence of the post of Heavenly King. And now, today, it is you who have taken it away. I think that you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away his opulence." Purport. As it is said, Yasyaham anugraha nami harishe tadanam shanai. Bhagavatam 10:88:8. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence, but if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although, actually, this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shinai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. This is one of Prabhupada's favorite verses. Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanai tanam shanai. That if the Lord is especially merciful to someone, then he takes everything away. I don't think it's many people's favorite verse. But this is one of Krishna's options. It is not his only option, but is one of his options in dealing with the devotees in order to bring them back to the spiritual world. Krishna's purpose in creating the material world and his purpose in providing the facilities for the living entities is ultimately to help them make progress in spiritual life, while at the same time giving them facilities for sense gratification. Krishna repeatedly manifests himself in different ways, whether as the spiritual master, or as a sadhu, or as a scripture, in order to convince the spirit soul that sense gratification is not real happiness, and that real happiness is found in the transcendental loving service of Krishna. But the living entity is free by his free will, to do what he wants. Therefore, Krishna arranges there's a delicate balance of free will and fate and Krishna's desire that the living entity makes spiritual progress. Ultimately, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Yavesha Mano Yemam, Mayi Budim Niveshaya, Nivashishasi Mameva Ata Oravam Visamashaya. Krishna gives his advice. He says, just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me, and thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. So Krishna's advice is to constantly think of him. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me. The result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Krishna's advice is to center all one's desires in the worship of Krishna. The conditioned soul, however, he may not understand this advice, or even if he understands the advice, he may not accept it. And even if he accepts it, he may not be able to execute it. And even if he can execute it, he may not be able to execute it perfectly. Therefore, there are different classes of persons, and they have different desires. In the material world, it is said that there is one class of persons, pravritim cha, nivritim cha, jana na vidur asura, na satyam na pichachiro, na satyam teshu vidyate. One class of persons, they have no idea what is to be done or what is not to be done. Such persons, having no idea of Krishna consciousness, or even the direction towards Krishna consciousness, they are characterized by nisatyam napichacharo. They have no truthfulness. The ultimate truth is that we are not the lords of the material nature, and the material nature is not specifically here for our enjoyment. But those who are conditioned by the material nature and who want to imagine themselves to the lord of material nature, they cannot be truthful because they have to deny so many different obvious facts. The most obvious fact is that we're not the controller. Because if we were the controller, then certainly we'd be able to stop old age, disease, and death. So although the scientists make a show of being so-called controllers, or insignificant living entities try to make a show of becoming the so-called controller in the material world. But the fact is that even the best of yogis in this material world, who can perform so many gymnastic feats, they cannot stop their body from growing old. Nor can they stop their body from ultimately becoming diseased and dying. And after dying, those who are not devotees of Krishna, they cannot stop themselves from having to take another birth again and again suffer the same repeated miseries. Therefore, such a show of being controller is false. And they have no achara. They don't know what is the actual achara or the napichacharo. They don't know what is to be done. Because basically everyone in the material world is wanting to understand what is necessary to do to become happy. So the goal is happiness, and knowledge means to know what to do to obtain it. But the demons, not knowing that the goal is Matevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu, they don't know that the goal is Vishnu, that Vishnu is happiness, devotional service to Krishna is happiness for the soul. They falsely try to find happiness. They think falsely that happiness is found in sense gratification. Therefore, they simply do avritam gena etena gyanino nityavarina. Instead of avoiding their enemy, known as lust, they look for their enemy. Just like if you know that someone has a machine gun and they're looking to shoot you. So only a foolish person will search all over to find the person so he can be shot. Similarly, the foolish living entity, not knowing who his enemy is, that is lust, which will simply burn him like fire. Generally, no one looks around for a fire to fall into. No one looks to be burned by fire repeatedly. But the conditioned soul, bewildered by the modes of material nature, falsely thinking lust be his friend, he becomes covered by different degrees of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Therefore, one has to know what is the proper activity. So Krishna says, as Krishna always, na satyam, they don't know what is reality, and therefore, na chachara, they don't know what is to be done. And nasocham napi nasocham teshu vidyate. Therefore, they can never become blissful and happy. This is called a demon. The devotee, beginning of devotional service, is just the opposite. They know that the goal is Krishna, or they have some idea that Krishna is the controller. Ultimate controller. Therefore, in the beginning, Krishna says, Chatura vidha bhajante imam jnana sukritim arjuna arta jignasi artarti jnani cha bharatarshiva. They approach Krishna, but with a desire for ending one's suffering. In the material world, we don't know what the cause of our suffering is. We don't know the root cause. Modern society, for instance, is not at all interested. The majority of the people, at least, are not at all interested in the root cause. The root cause is our lust. Harikesh Maharaj once gave a class called The Hunters in Argentina. Did anyone ever hear that class? It was in Argentina. I guess at that time, there were some brahmacharis getting married. So he was giving a class on the hunters, how they would, sometimes a brahmachari would be walking and suddenly one of the hunters would find him and shoot the glances at him. And he would be hit in the heart. And someone would come and go, I'm hit. And someone would go, I'll pull the arrow out. I'll pull it out. No, don't touch it. Don't touch it. So in the material world, people are thinking, let me go out in the forest, material existence, and by good fortune, some hunter will come over along and shoot me in the heart with an arrow. But that is not the actual happiness. That is the source of misery. But people don't want to take out that arrow from their heart. They think, oh, let it be sunk a little bit more deeply, then I can really appreciate it more. So this is called artha. They're suffering, artha, artha, arti. They're suffering material pains of desires for sense gratification. One of the first times I heard Srila Prabhupada give a lecture, he said in the material world there's only two activities, basically speaking. That is, hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we've lost. This is why we're so attached to the material world. It's such a wonderful place where we can spend eternity hankering for everything we don't have and lamenting over everything we've lost. So these are the two basic activities of material existence, and people are so attached to that, to these activities, that they don't want to give it up. Therefore, we can see that people go to a doctor, they don't want to hear that they have to stop eating meat or smoking cigarettes or having illicit sex or doing any kind of sinful activity. They don't want to find out these things. They want to simply hear that you take this pill and everything will be all right. One nurse once told me that even in the hospital when they have these operations where people get lung cancer or throat cancer due to smoking, so then they make a little hole in the person's throat so he can keep on smoking. You can because people don't, in no way, at no time, people want to give up sense gratification. Although it is a false conception that one can become happy, what to speak of healthy, by sense gratification, they want scientists to delude them into thinking that somehow or another. One nurse once told me that even in the hospital when they have these operations where people get lung cancer or throat cancer due to smoking, so then they make a little hole in the person's throat so he can keep on smoking. He can... Because people don't, in no way, at no time, people want to give up sense gratification. Although it is a false conception that one can become happy, what to speak of healthy, by sense gratification, they want scientists to delude them into thinking that somehow or another they can go on with so many abominable sinful activities and at the same time be happy and peaceful. So this is all false, although this is called science, or modern which is the basis of modern civilization. In other words, science should be that knowledge which teaches one how to act in such a way as to become happy. But instead of science, people are given nescience. They're enthused to perform activities of sense gratification, and the result is they become more and more miserable. Whereas Krishna says, mogashya moka karmano, moka jnana vichaita saha, rakshasim asrim chaiva, prakriti mohanim shritaha. That if one doesn't accept the path of Krishna consciousness, although he may work hard to get money, but he won't get real fruits that will make him happy. Although he may study, he'll always remain bewildered. Although he may search for liberation, he'll always remain entangled. Therefore, in the beginning, those who are a little interested in getting free from distress should understand that the root cause of their existence is their desires for fruits of activities, material fruits of activities. This is called a karma yogis. That they know the goal is Krishna, but they're addicted to the fruits of their activities. So the first, the artas and the artartis, those who want security and freedom from distress, they're like karmis, karma yogis though. But they know they've approached the right goal, namely Krishna. And therefore, Krishna tries to arrange their lives in such a way as that they can get the results of their work and make progress through the modes of material nature. So that depends upon the sincerity of the person as well as Krishna's desire. If one has no real interest in obtaining Krishna, he simply has heard that by performance of devotional service that one can quickly achieve his material desires, then such a person, he may take the devotional service, but he generally won't stay very long. Once he gets a little glimpse of his desires, he becomes satisfied and then leaves. So Prabhupada said, we've seen in our missionary activities, many persons come and join our movement, but within their heart they have a hidden desire for sense gratification. Therefore, after some time, after learning how to distribute paintings, how to make money, how to regulate their lives a little bit better so they can enjoy sense gratification all at once rather than in little bits at a time. So after learning all these wonderful techniques, then they leave devotional service thinking that now Krishna has given me what I wanted and I've given Krishna what he wanted, therefore Now we break even. And I'll come by and visit him once in a while and put in my, 21 guilders into the box and hope for the best. So such persons, they don't have a very clear understanding. Therefore, they're called karmis or karma yogis. At least they're not vikarmis. They're not enthusiastic to perform sinful activities. Therefore, there's some possibility of making progress if by good association, by hearing, they can understand what is the value of obtaining Krishna rather than the value of getting something from Krishna. So such persons, as they progress, then they become known as jnanis, persons who have some understanding of the futility of sense gratification and the desirability of pure devotional service. So Krishna says, bhakti pareshanu vyaktir anyatra trisha ekakala prapadamanasya yatashnita sus tushti pushti shudapayanugasam. That test of where we are in devotional service is judged by how much we're detached from these innumerable desires that arise within our hearts to gratify our senses, and how much we're attached to Krishna and attached to the process by which Krishna becomes satisfied. How much we can understand things properly and how much we're attached to Krishna. So one devotee, he's prayed, Kaivaya Narakayate, Tri Dasha Tri Dasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate Duradan Tendriya Kala Patili Prokata Damstrayate Vishwa Vishwam Purna Sukayate Vidhi Mahendridis Chakitayate Yakaruna Kataksha Vai Bhavatam Tam Goram Evastu Maha. So he says, let me take shelter in the merciful sidelong glass of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because one who gets a little bit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then even Kaivaya Narakayate, even the great goal of the Jnanis, emerging into Brahman, becomes like, just like going to hell. And Tridasha Pur, the abode of the demigods, to enjoy there in the gardens with the celestial apsaras, Tridasha Pur Akasha Pushpayate, seems just like a flower in the sky. Or in other words, phantasmagoria. And Dwardhan Tendriya Kala Patali Prokata Prakayate Damstra Prakayate, and the senses that the yogis are trying to control by so many gymnastic exercises and by pranayama and meditation, these very strong senses, including the mind, do not disturb a devotee absorbed into Krishna consciousness. And the whole world seems it's full of happiness. And even great demigods such as Brahma and Shiva, but to speak of Indra or Varuna, they seem as insignificant as ordinary insects. So this unlimited ocean of happiness is obtained by engaging in devotional service to Krishna with full faith. Therefore it is said, yet pada palava, yet pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kamashayam grahitam ukritayanti shanta Tavana Rikta Matayo Yatayo Piruda Shuto Ganas Tamarunam Padravasudeva. Just take to the worship of Lord Vishnu or Lord Vasudev, Krishna, because the devotees, by such worship, with full devotion, they're able to untie the hard knot of material desires. But even the great jnanis and yogis, when they endeavor by their process, they become swept away by the waves of material desire. Therefore, it is advised just to worship Krishna. So the devotee, when he gets some knowledge, he realizes the great necessity to worship Krishna and the necessity simultaneously to give up material desire. So such a devotee is fortunate. But somewhere in between, the devotee simply interested in sense gratification, utilizing Krishna, and those who have knowledge and wanting to rise to the platform of pure devotional service, there's a devotee who is sincere, but he sometimes gets entangled by sense gratificatory desires. Maya's job, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, yogat chalati manasa, that as soon as one tries to make progress in devotional service, the Maya tries to trick the devotee by so many different types of allurements. Or as the mafia, everyone knows the mafia used to say that we'll give him a deal he just can't refuse. So that's Maya's job, is to figure out what is that deal to give us that we just can't refuse. So sometimes the devotee is given a deal he didn't refuse, but Krishna, by his mercy, he arranges it that everything is taken away. But this is for a special devotee. It is not for every devotee. A devotee who has in his heart the arrow, and when Krishna comes to take it away, he says, "Don't touch me. It hurts. Don't touch it." So for such a devotee, Krishna doesn't touch it because he has a strong desire to remain in material existence. But a devotee who doesn't have such a strong desire, who helplessly is being carried away by the modes of nature, who sometimes prays to the Lord to help him, then Krishna comes and takes everything away. Everything crumbles in front of him. So this is the personality that Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. We should become such a personality. In that way, even if we do have strong attachments, gradually Krishna will take everything away, and then Krishna will give one all facility so that one can utilize Krishna's energies in spreading the Sankirtan movement. Krishna's desire ultimately is not to take things away, but to give all facility for his devotee to execute devotional service so that many conditioned souls can be purified by being engaged by an elevated devotee in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. So it's a little late, so I'll stop there. So thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah, so it's an exchange between the devotee and Krishna. Krishna, he has his rules and regulations that he follows, but he's completely free to do what he wants on one side. But generally we know that Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. And Krishna, as the super soul in the heart, he knows exactly what the devotee wants. Therefore, it's up to Krishna judges what to do. It's a delicate point. He doesn't always take everything away, as we've seen. We've seen many devotees who Maya has sent different allurements, and they've embraced the allurement, and they've disappeared. And they're still disappeared. Right, so that means they've never really became a devotee of Krishna, and not a very advanced devotee. So for some time, Krishna says, "Prapya punya kritam lokam ushisva shasviti samak suchinam shimatam dehe yoga brashta vijayate." So they get a chance, according to their level of devotional service they've achieved, to enjoy in the heavenly planets or to take birth in brahminical or mercantile families, or to be born in the families of yogis, depending upon how much they've achieved, how sincere they were. But sometimes Prabhupada said it's found that after being given a chance, say being born in a wealthy family, they misuse it and they engage in sense gratification, and therefore they get further lost. So after being born in the family of mercantile persons, if one misuses the wealth, he may get lost again in the cycle of birth and death. Although it is understood that sometime in the future, his devotional tendency will be revived again, because material nature will surely, as she's merciful to all conditioned souls, will severely chastise him. And again, his desire will be revived, and he can again make progress. But one can get lost for many lifetimes. Therefore, when it says devotee, it means a certain level of devotee, not every devotee. Not everyone, for everyone, take everything away. And there's another verse that says that sometimes Krishna gives the devotee something, because there are so many different possibilities. Satyam dishasya arhitam. Says that sometimes the devotee will petition Krishna that he has some desire, and then the Lord will fulfill that desire. But he'll fulfill it in such a way is that the devotee won't ask him for some material benediction again. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he had a desire to achieve a kingdom greater than I of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And Krishna fulfilled the desire, but in such a way that Dhruva Maharaj didn't want that desire anymore. He didn't want to petition Krishna for more material desires. He didn't even want the benediction Krishna gave him. So sometimes Krishna will arrange it that the desire is fulfilled, but in such a way that the devotee will not petition him again and again to fulfill the desire. Sometimes we may want some particular service, and Krishna will frustrate us until finally we decide we don't want the service. And then Krishna gives us the service. And Krishna tries to arrange it in such a way is that the devotee will take to his pure devotional service. That's Krishna's real desire. That the demigods are praying, the fifth canto. So many varieties of possibilities. But it's up to us, ultimately, to direct our desires appropriately so we make it easy to Krishna to help bring us back to the spiritual world. We make it easy for the spiritual master and Krishna. Not that Krishna has to work on our bringing us back day and night, and still he's scratching his head trying to figure out how to do it. We should try and make it easy. Why? If the devotee is utilizing whatever he has in Krishna's service, why shouldn't Krishna take him seriously? You think Krishna only if Krishna takes a club and hits the devotee on the head? He sees that the devotee, according to his capacity, is trying to utilize the things in Krishna's service. Of course, Krishna takes him seriously. Not that he has to shock the devotee to taking everything away. No, it's not that everyone. But sometimes, if a person has, Krishna is very careful in how to deal with every devotee. If we really want Krishna to take everything away and pray to him, he'll think about it. Maybe one day he'll do it for us. Oh Krishna, I have enough prasadam. I have a nice place to live. Everything is taken care of. You don't love me. Please take everything away so I can starve out in the cold somewhere. Then I'll know that you love me. We should be a little careful about how we want Krishna to show his love for us. Anything else? Well, we should also try and utilize whatever Krishna gives us in his service. Yeah, without being attached. If we see it in relationship to Krishna, then we won't be attached. If you know that this, building belongs to Krishna, then you won't walk in as if it belongs to you. You know who it belongs to. If you see $100 bill on the street, you saw the person who dropped it. Then you won't be, and then you'll, and if you're honest, then you'll pick it up and give it to him. You won't be attached to it. Anything else? puts his hands out, says, stop, don't do it, don't jump, I'm going to jump. Something like that. In any case, we're here now, that's for sure. Something happened. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur.